You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
What it indicates to me, it really solidifies the fact that the FBI were laying the groundwork, because they had that computer in December 2019. They understood how explosive it was. They warned Mr. McIsaac, the computer shop repairman, that people who don't talk about things generally don't get hurt. I mean, that's a veiled threat. So they were laying the groundwork just in case Mr. McIsaac ever came forward. And, of course, it was Senator Grassley's in my report that prompted Mr. McIsaac. He finally felt safe enough to go public with that laptop.
That is Senator Ron Johnson, Wisconsin Republican, talking about how whistleblowers have helped begin to unveil and pull back all the layers of conspiracy wrapping the FBI and the Attorney General's office and the Biden White House and all the rest of those little minions out there that do the bidding and just follow the orders and don't question, where is American democracy? Where are we in what we're supposed to be doing? Hey, thanks for joining us. This is December 15th, 2022. We are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now, enter in Larry Connors, USA. That'll take you right to our Rumble page. Rumble is going to be a very important thing for you to start following after the first of the year at Larry Connors USA, and I'll explain in more detail later. And I will also remind you, if you miss a program, you can always go to the Rumble page and pull up previous programs. I'm looking at numbers. I've seen dozens of you watching overnight because it doesn't work out for you right now. I understand. And if you want to hear the audio podcast only, well, then that's available shortly after we go off the air at LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, or wherever you choose to get your podcast. We'd like you to use ours. We do not sell any of your information, and you can subscribe, get it sent right to your email box. So there was Senator Johnson talking about there were already early veiled threats from the FBI to anyone that might be involved with the Hunter Biden laptop. And now we know it's escalated. According to the Washington Post the other day, and we talked about it extensively yesterday with Margo Cleveland of the Federalist, senior legal correspondent, how the Hunter Biden decision was to hire a legal attorney, a Hollywood attorney, happened to be the same guy that loaned him $2 million to pay his back delinquent IRS taxes. So there's a good glove-in-hand operation, right? But anyway, this guy is going to supposedly prepare legal and strategy offensives. They're no longer going to be defensive. Hunter wants to start going after people that are calling him out and mocking him and saying anything about him, such as anything on this program. Have at it. Get to the back of the line. But the Biden White House, Biden himself, isn't too sure that's a good idea to go. But we'll get into that in more detail. My guest today, one of them, Thomas J. Baker, not one of, related to the Baker that got fired from Twitter, I don't think, we'll find out for sure. 33 years with the FBI, just has out a book, The Fall of the FBI, how it's now a threat to democracy. You're going to want to hear from him coming up later. And, of course, the budget battle continues. They have something like $16 billion worth of earmarks in there. 7,500 different earmarks. It all falls just below the 1% margin that they'd agreed to accept. They're very good about capping right to that level, not going over it. So they can tell you, no, no, we're being honest. But Senator Rand Paul calls them out and says, GOP, you need to get some spine. We'll get into that. Also, my other guest today, John Zdrzewski, director of the America First Legal. Governor Newsom just admitted there is a border crisis and it's going to explode when Title 42 ends within days. So, again, John Zdrzewski with American First Legal will tell you just how bad it is now and how bad it's going to get. Oh, and didn't have time to spend a lot of time on it yesterday. More time today. Apparently, Russians had agreed to release Marine Paul Whelan, who was arrested as a businessman in Moscow for espionage when Trump was in office. But when Biden came in, they said, nah, not anymore. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. I'm gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. Ways.
This brings upon us the lie that Republicans really are fiscally conservative. The Democrats aren't. They will not pretend to be fiscally conservative. Not one of them up here gives a darn about the debt. Republicans all profess to, but when you make them vote on the PAYGO resolution, pay as you go, that we can't have new spending without offsetting it, they always vote to exempt it. So the omnibus will be 3,000 pages. We'll get it 2 hours before they want to pass it. No one will read it. But hidden in the 3,000 pages will be, we're going to waive PAYGO.
That is Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky Republican, calling out fellow Republicans, saying, show some spine and stand up. He's exactly right. What's happening right now is they're just still trying to cram all this thing through before they go in Christmas recess. He's also right in saying, look, the Democrats don't even pretend to be fiscally responsible. They don't even pretend to be. They want your money and then some, and some more. Republicans running on the record that we're going to be fiscally responsible, we're going to get a balanced budget, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and many of them ain't going to do it. I know I said ain't. So be it. I'm not a saint. Ain't. Right? Look, Rand Paul just said, the Republicans profess to be conservatives, but when you make them vote on the PAYGO resolution, pay as you go, they always vote to exempt it. Now, the PAYGO, let's get a better understanding of that. The idea here is that simply as it stands and says, and you would probably understand it anyway, the pay as you go rule, known as PAYGO, designed to encourage Congress to offset the cost of any legislation that increases spending or entitlement programs or reduces revenues so it does not expand the deficit. May I repeat again with a megaphone, does not expand the deficit. So under PAYGO, if they're following it, Congress must pay for such legislation by reducing other entitlement spending. Oh, I know. You hear the Democrats saying, they'll be cutting your Social Security. That's how they'll do it. No, they're not cutting your Social Security. That's just more flack from the left. But Republicans are probably weak, pretty much weak in how they respond. But they're either going to have to pay for such legislation by reducing other entitlement or increasing revenues. Well, yeah, Democrats are about increasing revenues. One other word. When I mention Social Security as an entitlement, it shouldn't even be called that. It's not an entitlement like that you're entitled just because. It's your money. It's your money you put in. But that aside, Congress and the president first established a PAYGO law in 1990. That was a bipartisan budget summit agreement to reduce the large deficits. In the late 90s, Congress and the president began waiving it in response to the booming economy and several years of budget surpluses. Yes, we actually had budget surpluses. In 2001, they waived the PAYGO enforcement, appropriating very large tax cuts without offsets. That was a sharp departure from PAYGO, but it also set the stage for other PAYGO exceptions. You know, you find one cockroach in the kitchen, there's going to be another, or two, or three, or 400. So in 2002, Congress allowed PAYGO to expire, facilitating the passage of deficit spending, tax and spending in deficits, entitlement legislation, spending deficits, including 2003 tax cuts and Medicare drug prescription bill. Now, I'm not saying all of this is bad. It's just that you need to know what's at stake and what's going on and where the trade-off is and who's getting some extra money that maybe they shouldn't be getting. The PAYGO system has been up and down. Now, Congress at the current time can waive it for a particular bill with the support of 60 senators and the majority of House. It did so in response to the Great Recession, if you recall that, 2008, how bad that was, and the Recovery Act of 2009. But here we are again. And we have right now, they're trying to push through a $1.7 trillion government funding package that they're trying to wrap up before they go on Christmas vacation. They now have a max limit on earmarking processes for any earmark. You know, it's like what they used to call pork for your local district. You cannot have a total in the deficit more than 1%. Well, guess what? Guess what? What they found out. They have something like 7,500 earmarks, totaling $16 billion, $16 billion. But wait. When you take a look at that, that is less than the 1% limit that they set on such things. See? It would be like you getting your change back from a $5 bill and it's 2 pennies and you decide, you know, I'll just leave it here for someone else to maybe use. In this case, they're going to grab everything they can, and they are, but they're stopping just short of that 1% cap. And as you heard Senator Paul say, they're going to just absolutely push this thing through. They don't really care about the final fallout. And on top of that, the votes are there if Republicans would act, Senator Paul.
It would take 41 votes. But the other thing is, 41 votes would stop the big spending. If 41 of us said no and held our ground until there was a compromise, we could force Democrats to reduce spending. We have completely and totally abdicated the power of the purse. Republicans are emasculated, they have no power, and they are unwilling to gain that power back.
I think he's absolutely right about that, and that's a shame. Now, again, keep in mind, every House member had to run for re-election this last time. House members run every 2 years. So some of the ones who were out there campaigning and getting votes were saying, well, we're going to go in there and we're going to straighten it out. They're already wavering. They're already bending like leaves in the grass or anything else like that. I mean, they're showing no spine, no intent to serve as they said they would. So they're going to face re-election again in 2 years. They may or may not hold on. Senators every 6 years. So some of those who had made those promises, they're right back in there, and they're already indicating, you just heard Senator Paul point out, we only need 41 votes. It would stop the big spending. If 41 of us said no and held our ground until there was a compromise, we would force Democrats to reduce spending. Senator Paul again saying, show us some courage.
We'd have to do the budget the way it's supposed to be. Budget, 12 appropriation bills, and then try to attach some policy like removing the 87,000 IRS agents from the IRS budget. When we try to do it in one bill, the Republicans don't have the intestinal fortitude. They always collapse, and they fear shutting government down so no policy objectives ever get added. The only way we can do it is if we actually do what we're supposed to do, budget, 12 appropriation bills, and then decide which ones you want to fight over.
That's standard procedure, really. Except when you're trying to shovel all this manure out the door before you go home for Christmas, which is what they're trying to do, some of them. I say two things. One, the government really never shuts down anyway. You do know that. That's a false veiled threat that comes from the left all the time. Oh, my God, and there are people that depend on the money in their families. Right at Christmas, you're doing that? Necessary workers are still paid, maintained, and even those who are shut down for that period of time, they still get their back pay when they return. Military members, things like that, yes, we need to keep them active. And we got to continue to pay them, but the rest go home. And in many cases, it might actually be better for the nation. The other point being that this was going to tie the hands of the incoming House Speaker on trying to deal with maybe actually getting a better budget. If they do all this in advance of going home and set it in motion, the law is there. Well, after January swearing in of the new members, some returning, the House Speaker, be it McCarthy, whoever it is, will have very little control over the purse strings for 9 months. And Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican in the Senate, sided with the idea of, yeah, let's go ahead and get this thing done before the end of the year. He just needs maybe some lessons from Senator Rand Paul on how to balance this thing.
Balancing the budget, how hard would it be if we passed 2019's budget, a budget from 3 or 4 years ago, if we passed that today, the budget would balance. That's how much spending has grown over the last 3 or 4 years. All the COVID spending is now built in. Nobody's going back towards the normal baseline. All that COVID spending's baked in, and we're bankrupting the country, and we're adding debt faster than we've ever added it in the history of the country.
Yeah, make you feel good? Going to make your grandchildren feel good? Going to end up making your great-grandchildren feel even better? I want to read something from Eddie Scarry, who wrote for The Federalist the other day, and talking about because when the Wall Street Journal or Mitt Romney repeats that condescending line with absolute disdain that it's time to move on, they're not just talking about pointing out political viability of a single man, being Trump in this case, who offends their sensibilities. They're talking about a complete memory holding of the GOP shift from country club to Costco and the abandonment of all the issues that brought hundreds of thousands of new voters into the field. He goes on to point out this crowd like Adam Kinzinger's and Liz Cheney's and those type of Republicans, various other backbenchers of the party, aren't really insisting we move on. They're demanding we go back to when we had ruling Republican agenda was corporate tax cuts, a devotion to Israel, and everything else a very distant third. These Republicans, and here's the key point, these Republicans and their similar like are perfectly satisfied giving Democrats everything they want. Welfare, both social and corporate. so long as they get to look strong by sending more money to military contractors in their own districts, its own form of welfare. These guys right now are doing exactly that. We mentioned these these earmarks they have set out. Pardon me, I'm sorry, we're probably all doing this little hack thing going on. The earmarks that we're having put in front of us right now, that they're basically trying to say that we're going to need these. Let me repeat to you again. I pointed it out yesterday, but it bears repeating because the numbers are so staggering, you think, really? I told you this is a $1.7 trillion total government spending package. And inside this omnibus thing, they've got $16 billion in what are called earmarks. It is not just one side, not just one party. I want you to understand that. There are from the Senate 3,000-plus earmarks in the 2023 appropriation bills. From the House, 4,300 earmarks. Between the two of them, again, they add up to $16 billion. But since the government spending package total is 1.7, $16 billion chump change. That's just 1% of the $1.7 trillion. How much of that could you use in your household for you and your family? You need to get on the phone, reach out to your legislators and say, put a stop to this now. Shut the government down. So be it. You guys stay there, work through Christmas, and make it happen. And we do not go off on your holiday, cheery, cheery holiday, except for those who are suffering, and you're not helping. Now we've got Governor Newsom in California admitting we might have a crisis here, you think? Coming up, Border Patrol President. Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli, St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Yeah, we're absolutely hoping that there's going to be more people that are going to step up and say what is currently happening is absolute chaos and we can't have chaos. You know, when you listen and you read the rhetoric coming from the White House talking about more resources, it doesn't matter. You could have Border Patrol agents. I could stand next to my fellow agent hand to hand across the entire 2,000 miles of Southwest border. And if we continue catch and release, if we continue to release people into the country, it doesn't matter. They're going to continue to come. And when they do that, they flood our resources and they take all of our personnel out of the field. And when we don't have people in the field, that's when the cartels can exploit those gaps, and that's when they can get their more dangerous products across, such as fentanyl and all of the dangerous opioids that are killing so many of our citizens.
And those are facts that cannot be denied. The minimum number, the latest numbers I've heard, 300 to 350 die a day in our nation due to overdosing. They may not be taking fentanyl directly, but it's been laced with marijuana or something else, and they don't know it, giving them the great high that they've always enjoyed, only this time it proves to be fatal. And our open border policy has allowed more and more of that to flow across. Now, if you listen to those on the left say, well, they bring that in by truck or some other. You don't have all these illegals coming across. But you really believe that? Do you really believe that every child that this administration is allowing to come across the border with an adult is actually related to the child and maybe had not kidnapped the child or paid money to have the child to pose with them so they could appear to be a family unit and or were being paid whenever they get wherever they are to sell that child into sex slavery? Even Democrat Governor Newsom warning the other day that President Biden's plan to reverse the Title 42 era, which would allow police and border officers to expedite the expulsion of illegals, because you cross the border illegally, you're illegal. You're not just an immigrant, you're an illegal. But it's going to end in 12 days or less now, next week. And you were listening then to National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd. He said even if we stood hand-to-hand with other agents stretching that entire 2,000-plus miles, come the end of Title 42, they'd come rushing through. And with Governor Newsom going down the other day and making that statement, Lindsey Graham says to him, that's a sign that Newsom is considering a 2024 presidential run. He may or he may not, but at least he's down there acknowledging that it's an issue. And he's gone to the border. Biden has yet to. He was at Yuma the other day, very close, but just don't have time. I got so many big things to do. Bigger than 2.5 million illegals coming across the border during your first 2 years in office? Again, back to the Border Patrol President, Brandon Judd. He said, talking about how much the influx is going to increase because the question was posed to him, are you guys ready to handle what's coming when Title 42 does end?
No, we're not. And that's what's so frustrating is everybody knew that Title 42 was on its last leg, yet this administration didn't come up with any programs, plans, or operations to deal with it. Now they're behind the eight ball. Now we know that we're going to get flooded. When you look at what's happening in El Paso right now, this is pre-Title 42. After Title 42 goes away, it's going to be even more disaster, and we would have never dreamed that we'd be at where we're at now.
According to Senator Lindsey Graham, then we've seen numbers similar from other sources, we're going to have 14,000 illegals a day. A day. Take your calendar, put 14,000 on each day, and then total it up. Hopefully it'll be a short month like in Feb, but beyond that, he said, in other words, 100,000 a week. It's unsustainable. Now Newsom recognizes it. He's in a sanctuary state that he's all in favor of having sanctuary state, but now he's beginning to see this idea doesn't work. Well, of course it doesn't work. It never would have worked. I've always said if you really want to have illegals, then you put your home available for housing for them. You do that. When you do that, then you prove to me that you really have a heart for this humanity that you're forcing the rest of the nation to deal with at this point. Coming up, America First legal representative discussing this issue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot your eye down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest, we're picking up and continuing the story with the end of Title 42 coming next week. And, of course, Title 42 was basically designed to keep or to quickly expel illegal immigrants coming across our border. But Title 42 going to expire. And when it does, you heard the prediction from Senator Lindsey Graham, 14,000 illegals a day will be coming across. Joining us now is the America First Legal, John Zadrozinski. John Zadrozny, right? John Drozny.
Yes.
I apologize.
Call me John, Larry. This is good enough, sir.
Oh, I am truly sorry, sir. My granddad always said if a man's name is spelled Smith, but he calls it Mud, then Mud's his name. But it's Zadrozny. It's not that hard. I'm just not doing very well with this cold medicine I'm on.
But it's all good, Larry.
Yeah, I appreciate it. All right. Thank you, sir. Glad to have you. So the California Governor Newsom actually shows up at the border and then begins to say, oh, we might have a problem here. No kidding. Where are we going with this kind of stuff that they suddenly wake up? To me, it reminds me of the COVID amnesty that came around and said, oh, you got to give us amnesty. We didn't really understand what we were doing. We didn't know masking kids. They're going to do the same damn thing here and say, we didn't know this would go upside down like this.
Larry, I don't know how on earth they could maintain that, especially somebody like Gavin Newsom. What I would say is this. Illegal immigration is one of the biggest national security problems this country has. A country that lets people in to the tune of millions, and quite frankly, we're pretty sure by the Biden administration's own numbers, they've let in 4 million people.
Yeah,
but that doesn't include the numbers of people we don't know
getaways.
Got in without. Right. Yeah. You know, well, not just the gotaways. The gotaways are the ones they had a bead on and they lost.
Right.
I'm talking about the people coming over the border in camouflage in the middle of the night.
Right.
Who don't want to be caught. You've got to ask yourself in such a permissive environment why they're not wanting to be caught, right? But we've had a lot of people come in, and they wonder why, and it's their fault because they basically – it's not just the federal government's fault. Yes, Joe Biden is not doing his job, but this is the policy. They want these people in. They want millions to come in so they can give them an amnesty to replace the Americans they've been aborting for 50 years. But I think California in particular, the states have a responsibility and guilt in this too. Because California, other states, they love to virtue signal by calling themselves sanctuary states.
Right.
And they've basically been inviting these people for years. You know, he even earlier this year, I think it was earlier this year, Governor Newsom in the state of California gave illegals full access to driving licenses.
Correct.
Driver's licenses. So when you do those types of things, you are essentially fueling illegal immigration. And for him to turn around and now say they've got to do something different is just mind-boggling to me. I'm actually not really sure what it's about.
Well, the thing that comes around, too, is that the Title 42 is going to expire probably next week, I think. That's right. The 22nd or something like that.
That sounds correct.
And they're hordes. And I don't mean to refer to these people. They are people. And many of them are just wanting a better life. I understand that. They live in what Trump called hell holes and S-holes, which that's what they're in. That's why they want out. Despite us being called a systemically racist nation, they all want to come here because of the freedoms and everything else. But they're just waiting for that to expire, and then they're going to – it's going to be a tsunami for sure, wouldn't you say?
I think it is to some degree, Larry. The one thing I would point out is that, yes, it will be bad. Yes, the official end of that policy will lead to hundreds of thousands more people being let in by the Biden administration. They had, however, pretty much already carved up Title 42 into Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was with the Trump administration, Title 42 basically meant with a handful of exceptions, you were not getting in. And what they basically did was they had an exception here, an exception there. And by the time they had gone through their list of exceptions, they were not excluding the majority of people who were coming to the border. If they were really enforcing Title 42, none of the people they've let in over these last few years would be coming. And that would have had a deterrent effect by itself. In fact, we saw that in 2020 when we first started implementing Title 42, and people thought they could just cross the border and they get there, and we said, sorry, public health emergency, you've got to turn around. That had a dramatic, that plus, you know, Remain in Mexico and our asylum screening, other asylum screening projects had a huge impact and basically reduced fraud, reduced volume, people turned around. So once that Title 42 officially goes away, that will just inspire more people to come. Again, they've already carved it in the Swiss
The Biden administration keeps telling us, oh, we're still expelling people. And, of course, they're also not telling us about how many flights are still taking and flying deeper into the interior of the nation, doing exactly the same thing Abbott and DeSantis were doing, but also doing it often without knowledge of those where they're going to be dropped off. And they continue facilitating not just crossing the border, but getting deep into the nation. And Canada has said, you come across here, you will be in jail or we'll turn you back. They're already recognizing how far this migration of the illegals could go.
Yeah, I mean, Larry, it is kind of funny that the Biden administration even pretends that it removes any people. I mean, I'm sure it literally removes like a handful of people here and there for necessary reasons, but it's not removing people as a policy, which is how you stop this from happening. In fact, the meaningful way to do it is you basically remove everyone you can remove who is illegally present if they haven't applied for asylum. And then that way, it's, you know, there's a real world cost to this, right? We used to have the problem with Mexican nationals crossing illegally because you would take them back across the border in the port of entry. Well, they'd come back the next day.
Yep.
It's not so easy when they're not from Mexico. If you're from Guatemala, if you're from Honduras, you put them on a plane, you fly them back to their home countries.
If you're from Iran, Iraq, and hostile nations, you face the same issue.
And we
found terrorists like that, those on no-fly list.
Larry, I'll tell you, I've talked to the Border Patrol agents for many years, working with them on the Hill and then in the administration and even since then, and they'll tell you that their encounters are not purely with Spanish-speaking people from the Americas. In fact, one Border Patrol agent told me a story one time. He said, you know, all Border Patrol agents are fluent in Spanish. You have to be for your job. And they usually chat with the individuals they're detaining, and talking with a group of guys one day, he got three sentences in and realized they didn't speak real Spanish. Well, it turns out they were speaking Farsi. Right? So that's not good. And that's an indication of what's happening at our border. The world knows. If Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador and the cartels in Mexico know that our border is open, you can darn well bet people who want us to experience more harm know it's open too, and they're using it to their advantage.
If I control a jihadist group, I get them into Mexico, and then they just walk across the border. And then on a certain day, a certain call goes out, and they all activate, or over several days. Now, one other quick thing here, in the sense that Governor Abbott has said that we'll start patrolling and militarizing our own border, and DeSantis saying the same thing about illegals coming in. California Governor Newsom, since if he's so concerned, could do the same thing. I don't see him doing that.
No, he's not. In fact, the thing he's not telling you is he actually really does want a lot of illegal aliens to come to California to replace the U.S. citizens who are leaving that communist hellhole, and so he can keep his congressional apportionment and federal funding for highways.
Yeah, and they actually did have a loss this last time around, didn't they, on the last census. I think, you know, as you were saying earlier, there's no way they couldn't have known that this was going to go upside down. And I've also pointed out to my audience, for my minority audience that's black, you're going to pretty soon be, you know, of no value because the brown vote, the brown population is going to overshadow you considerably and the white population. And it's the same thing that women are of no value now that their transgenders are coming in. Gloria Steinem was on MSNBC the other day, and they dare not ask her one time, what do you think about women pushing or being pushed out? When you roared for women, they're being pushed out of positions by men who are now claiming to be women. At what point does this hit that Flintstone with the Title 42 and our illegals coming?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Larry, because nobody ever talks about this. The African-American community in this country is hardest hit by illegal aliens being in this country, and the government's turning a blind eye to their being here because, quite frankly, we've seen it before. There's empirical data out there. When you enforce immigration law, companies can't use illegal labor. Illegal labor suppresses wages. When you actually enforce immigration law, wages in communities that have the lowest incomes rise. I know that, for example, that happened in 2017 in Chicago. They did a bust on a bread factory. It was all the workers there were illegal. Within 3 days, everyone was gone. Wages went from $11 to $14 an hour, and the community benefited from that. Right. So anyone who thinks that this is some sort of racist issue, it's not. It's just an issue about lawfulness.
Well, and the same thing, many of the Hispanics that live along the border that are members of the U.S. right now or came here legally, they don't like this happening because they end up in their communities and causing havoc and crime or taking their jobs. It doesn't work for anybody the way it's going down. John, I want to thank you very much and for what you guys are doing to try to help hold the line, and I wish you the very best going forward.
Thank you so much, Larry. Come visit us at aflegal.org. That's aflegal.org.
AF Legal, that's American Foundation. I'm not American First Legal. American First Legal. John, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. Take care.
You bet. Coming up, the pro-life groups fighting against the federal government using VA hospitals for abortions. Oh, hell yes.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We know that since the Justice Department, our U.S. Supreme Court, made the ruling that abortion is not part of the Constitution, so therefore Roe v. Wade is not law of the land. We've heard from all the libs outcry, and they've got to do something. We've got to do something as these states move with their trigger laws to outlaw abortion in most cases, if not all cases. And there may be some exceptions that I might have an issue with. But the administration said, well, what we will do in those states, we will allow abortions to be taking place at Veterans Affairs facilities. Yeah, the VA hospital. This is President Joe Biden, Catholic, who had been all about not funding anything that would actually pay for abortion. Remember that time? Does he remember that time? Probably not. But he threw all that aside in his quest for the gold ring in the Oval Office. And now they plan to absolutely start using money, federal dollars, that would not directly pay for the abortion again, but is providing facilities. In this case, about 50 pro-life groups sent a letter to the U.S. House and Senate warning that taxpayers are going to end up funding abortions if you continue what you're going to do under the Biden administration. The letter details how a portion of the $71 million increase in funding from the appropriations bill for the Office of Women's Health of the VA will be used to, quote, underwrite the transformation of veterans' health facilities into abortion centers. It's right there. And, of course, what's not mentioned at that point, if they're going to do it for that, they're going to do the same thing when it comes to helping children get puberty blockers and transgender surgery, even against their parents' wishes, and certainly without their knowledge. The letter reads that since 1992, the VA has been statutorily prohibited from using taxpayer dollars for abortion, thereby prioritizing scarce resources for the life-affirming health care needs of American veterans. But in September 2022, that's right, this year, just a few months ago, the Biden administration, quote, ignored the long-standing statutory prohibition and issued a new rule that includes funding abortion for health reasons. Now, you might take that and think, well, they're thinking about the woman that she might be at risk, and she's a veteran, and if she has a baby, she could die. Well, if that's the case, well, then we have a reason to sit down and see what we can do and find out. But right now, based on what I'm seeing here and what the plan will be, and you know how it will be enacted and used, health reasons would include anything the woman says is a concern she has. And the bottom line is, it's not so healthy for the unborn. Not at all. So when we see the VA hospital, the Department of VA under the Biden administration moving in this direction, as I mentioned, the next move will be to open up surgery centers for children who want to have breasts removed or be castrated, either by surgery or drugs. And they're going to go along with it. That's your taxpayer dollars now paying for it. Let me point out something to you. They just had the first annual Children's and Family Emmy Awards. Took place in L.A. over the weekend. Honoring TV programming geared towards children up to the age of 15. So obviously we're talking about younger children. But the ceremony ended up being dominated by LGBTQ messaging and talent, including the co-host JoJo Siwa, who identifies as a pansexual and queer. Again, I've told you before, your sexual preference, that's not for me to judge. I leave God to do that judging. I have enough trouble making myself judged by God and trying to keep myself from being more of a sinner than I am. But this kind of thing, this is a two-night ceremony, and it was supposed to be representing and honoring TV programming for children up to the ages of 15. And they're all happy that more queer characters are showing up also in animation comedies, things of that nature. We have got to turn away from this. We've got to turn back to God. We've got to turn back to our basic Judeo-Christian beliefs that founded the country, and our freedom of religion that does not rule out any other religion. But what religion accepts this? The Muslim religion does not. So don't tell me, well, Larry, you say Judeo-Christian, leaving out Muslim. No. I'm saying they would also be against this. I've made it over and over clear to you that if nothing else, this mission is for the program is patriotism, honoring our country, our flag, family, and also protecting the unborn and protecting our children from woke predators. That doesn't even mean they have to physically touch them. The woke crowd preying upon our children does it in so many different ways. And I will fight it each and every day. Coming up, another battle on our hands. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.